2000 through 2024. And this was hard. I ended up, like, in the way I grouped some of these, like putting a theme on it.
Starkey would argue that the century started in 01 and the first quarter century ends this year. Not to be pedantic.
But that's the definition of being pedantic.
Well, yeah, I said that part ironically. Anyway, how did you group them?
So, Pirates on this list 25 through 21 are still guys who are on the team now. Even though technically one Paul Skeens season counts and that's it, I put him 25. I'd rather put Paul Skeens on this list than...
I think you have him too low.
Than Jeff Suppan or somebody like that. Or
I think you have him too
Tom
low.
Tom Gorzolani. Okay, well...
I think Paul Skeens' 2024 was so good, it probably could fault him close to the top 10.
But you're not projecting what the guy is going to be. You're just taking into account, like, 27 starts. That's it.
I know. He was like a 5 or 6 win pitcher last year.
Yeah.
How many pitchers this century racked up more than 6 wins above replacement for them?
Well, I'm going to get to some of them later. 24, I put Bednar. I have him on this list as the second best closer during the last quarter century.
Skeens is better than Bednar, in my opinion.
Chris, if we're just ranking the type of player they are, Skeens should be 1 on this list.
I know, but I'm just saying I would still put him ahead of Bednar on this list, even understanding your criterion. But I will not get in your way anymore.
I put Keller 23rd. I put Hayes 22nd because of defense.
Blech.
Blech. And I put Adam Frazier 21.
Blech.
So that's the first part of it.
Man, that is grim.
The next part is, oh yeah, that guy pitched for a while with the Pirates. And in some of these years, they actually pitched well. Number 20, Kip Wells. Number 19, Zach Duke. Number 18, Mulsey's doppelganger, Paul Mahalam.
Duke looked like a guy who was going to be a star and then turned into your average soft-tossing lefty.
Next group, guys from the glory years. 17, Mark Melancon. 16, Francisco Liriano. 15, A.J. Burnett. 14, Pedro Alvarez.
I would have Liriano over arguably all of them, but as much as I loved A.J. Burnett, I would have Liriano ahead of him.
Here's my issue with Liriano. One, bigger games than Burnett. Also had years with the Pirates where he wasn't a good player. Burnett had 3 good years with the Pirates. Liriano had bad years that canceled out some of the good ones.
Got the biggest contract I think they had given out to a free agent at that point when they re-upped him.
I put catchers back-to-back at 13 and 12, Cervelli 13, Russell Martin 12.
Okay.
I honestly didn't know what to do with this guy, so I just stuck him here because to me, he's the best pitcher from the era by far, but like, it wasn't for very long. And
Cole.
I kind of feel like Gerrit Cole's overall career with the Pirates is overrated. He came up and was awesome in 13.
I have better memories. I'm not saying Liriano's a better pitcher. I have better memories of Liriano pitching games for them than I do to Gerrit Cole. That's the truth. Although I might put Jay Happ in the top 10 of this kind of a list. So,
The middle infielder triumvirate next. Josh Harrison, 10. Freddie Sanchez, 9. Jack Wilson, 8. I think that's right.
I'm trying to be careful.
List, so.
I kind of flipped. I would maybe have flipped Wilson and Harrison there. I'm waiting what Harrison did more because he did it for good teams. Freddie Sanchez won a batting title for a team that was toiling in anonymity.
Well, Ted Williams won batting titles on teams that toiled in anonymity. No one says that took away from his greatness.
Well, I'm glad we got to compare Ted Williams and Freddie Sanchez.
You're
on
welcome.
Today's show. Two very comparable ball players.
All right. I already don't like the way I listed these next 4 guys. I have Jason Bay, 7. I have Jason Kendall, 6. I have Brian Reynolds, 5. And I have Neil Walker, 4. And I don't like it because, like, there's recency bias with Reynolds. But I think if you look at Reynolds before this year, you were talking about this last hour. He probably should be this high.
I think Bay was a better player than Reynolds.
But he
Bay had some really good seasons here. He was just on really bad teams.
How many years did he play for the Pirates? Four?
Rookie of the year.
2004, yep.
Had that streak where he almost tied the record. Or I think he came within one game maybe of tying the record for most consecutive games with a home run. I was at the ballpark for at least one of those games.
Yeah, so...
He was a Pirate for parts of six seasons.
Bay?
Yes.
How many good years in the six would you say he had?
Objectively. I mean, he didn't really have any bad ones. 05 and 06, he was better than Reynolds will ever be.
Would you call a two-win player a good player? He had a 907 OPS in 2004 when he won Rookie of the Year, but that was only worth two wins because that was a high offensive, you know, era.
Yeah, that's the other thing you have to take into account, Donnie. Like,
he was a 10-win player combined in 05 and 06. Those are both really good years.
Hitting 30 home runs back then is like hitting 20 now, or maybe
and
even
then
15.
Pre-deadline, before he got dealt to the Red Sox in 106 games, he was a 2.5-win player in 08. That's a good year. He was a good baseball player. So I would say he had definitively had three good years.
How many do you think Reynolds has?
Reynolds has like four or five.
So you don't disagree with that ranking then?
I think.
Wait a minute. So we're saying that you got to cut Bay's home runs in half because he played 20 years ago?
Reynolds has
pretty much.
Reynolds
yes,
has,
I think that actually.
I think Reynolds has probably three and a half good years with the Pirates. 2019, 2021.
Not to get too in the weeds here, but the offensive environments are completely
different. Donnie, like OPS Plus is the one to go with in that era. The OPS Pluses are shockingly low for guys with big numbers, including a guy I suspect Pony has in the number three spot on this list.
Yes.
Because of the era that they played in.
So yeah, I'm taking Bay.
But it's
your list.
Would you put Bay above Walker?
I think you can make an argument. I probably would.
Well, I don't know. I mean, now I'm going to look at Bay and cut all of his home run numbers in half.
Well, wait a minute. You can't play dumb on that.
I got to act as if Bay was a 15 home run hitter when he hit 35.
No, you just got to consider the environment. That's all.
He's not considering the environment at all. He's not it's a lot harder to hit in 2020 or 2021 or 2022 than it was in those years.
Walker's OPS plus 113 for his Pirates career. Reynolds OPS plus 119 for his Pirates career.
What's Bay?
Bay OPS plus for his Pirates career 131.
Okay. If you go by that, he's better.
Bayday!
But I also said I didn't like that part of my list, so maybe I am actually coming around to Donnie's thinking.
All we need is Paul Skeens to endorse Bay, and you'll flip right away.
True. Top three, Giles, Marte, McCutcheon.
I'm actually surprised but proud of you for one thing on that list, on that top three.
Yep.
I'm pleasantly surprised you put Marte as high as you did, because I didn't work with you for the majority of his Pirates tenure, but I know you were very frustrated by and critical of him.
Sure.
And I think that's big of you to put him as high as he is on this list.
Giles loses one of his best years here because 99 he was a monster, and that doesn't count.
Giles is the ultimate merchant of you've got to consider the era. If you look at Giles through 2000 through 2002, just an absolute animal. And yet, I think one of those years he even cracked the top 20.
If you go by WAR, and this is like the third time we've brought WAR up on the show today, we will not make a habit of this, but it just fits the conversation we're having. I actually think I put Jack Wilson way too low.
The Silver Slugger year was a big year.
He played short, and he was an excellent defensive player.
I think he's one of the best defensive players to not win a Gold Glove.
Popularity contest. Better defender than Derek Jeter by a mile.
Absolutely.
Oh, no doubt.
And how many Gold Gloves does Jeter have?
Well, I mean, Jack Wilson never leaped into the stands after
steps. I think it's impressive that Jeets had several Gold Gloves despite physically not being able to catch a ball hit to his left. I mean, I think you can overcome something like that to have the career he did. It's very impressive. This is like a. This has been a very for like a fun. Let's name these Pirates. This has turned into like a cutting, nasty, sarcastic segment here.
Well, Donnie,
that's the
like,
PM team promise.
I did
baby.
Not exactly expect that Donnie would like get the knives out to defend Jason Bay's honor for crying out loud.
I watched a lot of bad baseball as a kid, and Bay was a friggin' baller.
And that was your guy during a very impressionable period of your life. Would you agree?
Yes, and I'm not going to sit here and listen to, hey, cut those home run numbers in half.
Listen,
I mean, hell,
son.
If we're doing that for him, we gotta take like a tenth of Giles's numbers.
I mean, you were vindicated though in the end because Bay had the best OPS plus, which is the number designed to actually weight this thing.
Okay, just if we're gonna play that, if I'm gonna continue at like scratching at that itch,
yes.
Then you know who actually looks way better? Kip Wells. He had a 3.58 ERA in 02 and a 3.28 in 03. Those are insanely good numbers. If we're saying that that's like still kind of like in the steroid era, 10-9 on a bad Pirates team with a 3.28 ERA, that might be the most underrated pitching season in Pirates history. We talk about how Keller gets a raw deal because he's got an ERA in the fours pitching now. This dude had an ERA. Well, not four anymore.
That's a good
it was
year.
A couple of starts ago was in the fours. That's an right, Donnie?
That's an incredible year.
Why doesn't that come up as like, hey, this dude pitched his fanny off on an absolutely horrendous team? Where were they in 03? 75 and 87. Okay, not the worst, but still. That's one of the best Pirates pitching seasons of our lifetimes. Did you ever hear anybody bring it up? Ever? I don't.
He also hit one off the batter's eye.
Yep. I'm happy I put him on the list. Not very high. I did put him ahead of Skeens.
I'm proud of you for putting Marte as high as you did. Good for you.
And Donnie thinks the whole list should be invalidated because I have Jason Kendall ahead of Jason Bay.
No, that's not what I said. You said Reynolds.
Yeah, it was Reynolds and Walker. And Bay does deserve to be ahead of them. And Kendall, as much as I found that Kendall had the same problem Giles did, which was pretty bad guy in the clubhouse, Kendall pre and post ankle injury are two different stories, and I do that. That's a definite Pittsburgh what if. He doesn't hurt his ankle, man. He was a stud.
Any other issues?
I mean, I still think you put Skeens too low because I think even
it's one year.
I know, and it was a spectacular year. He was the best pitcher in baseball last year.
I like broke rules. I like ignored. Other good, well, maybe not other good
Pirates. I just
think
it's a typical device for you in these lists. You are fond of putting a one-year guy very low because you know it chafes me.
Can you run through it just like quickly again?
Skeens, Bednar, Keller, Hayes, Frazier, Wells, Duke, Mahalan, Melanson, Liriano, Burnett, Alvarez, Cervelli, Martin, Cole, Harrison, Sanchez, Wilson, Bay, Kendall, Reynolds, Walker, Giles, Marte, McCutcheon.
Yeah, I mean, I would say just like quickly, besides the one that I
wanted to
on.
Go to war over, yes. Anything else?
If you take the best starting nine plus Skeens as your pitcher from that team, so you have a DH too, can they win the World Series if they stay healthy the whole year? Giles, Marte, McCutcheon in the outfield.
Yeah, they can.
Walker at second. Who the hell's playing first base? You know who was a guy I could have seen you
Pedro Alvarez.
Yeah, Chris.
Could you like move Jason Bay to first base, or is he just DHing for you? Could you move Brian Reynolds? One of those two's got to be your
I'd
DH,
probably go
and one's
DH.
Gotta be your first baseman. Here's one guy you might have left off the list that I think you can make a case for. I gotta go check. There's probably a case to be made for Craig Wilson on this team somewhere.
Come on, dude. What's next? Solomon Torres deserved to be on the damn team? Craig Wilson?
Craig Wilson, in his kind of main stretch, OPS plus 119, same as Brian Reynolds. Not a defensive player, obviously.
No, he's like the Ryan Domet of infielders and outfielders, which, by the way, Domet, I think, actually had a case to be on this list.
Yeah, if you let him come to the ballpark without his glove.
If Ryan Domet...
Hey, he had a hell of a walk-up song.
He also had the best nickname I've ever heard, derisive. Yeah. No Mitt Domet.
All right, we'll get to your list next. They're actually pretty funny. The Fan and the Pirates want to visit your teams in action. Youth baseball, softball, folks, presented by Sheets. Parents and coaches, get in touch with us, 93.7 The Fan, to register your 12 and under teams. And we might make it to your field. Details at 93.7thefan.com, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. I ranked the top 25 Pirates of this quarter century, 2000 through 2024. Donnie, you made a similar list.
I did. Yeah, I didn't really rank these guys based on ability or really anything. I just started listing names, but since we were talking about this stuff in the back, the one that I got the task of doing was Hefty Pirates since 2000 and trying to get 25 of them. And man, I actually got to 25, and there are some funny names on this list.
Did you have a like weight minimum? Like a?
I think there should be a height to weight ratio. Like if you were 6'6", but you're only 225, then you're not fat.
Right. It's kind of tough. And like there like, are
that's
going
Jason
to be,
Hayward's.
There
build.
Are going to be people thinking like, oh, John Nagowski's got to be on here. He actually wasn't as big as we remember.
He just felt like a fathlete.
He felt like he was larger than life.
I mean, he was a you know a random dude that wore number 69 that was here for like 3 weeks, and we all fell in love with him.
He was
because
more of
he
a character from a movie.
I mean, he was like a creative player.
He was a Belushi.
Yeah.
He was a guy you create on a video game.
Will Texan, what's next, Pony? John Vanderwall ahead of Jason Bay.
Don't give him ideas, folks.
There was also... I forget where I was going with that because I got completely thrown off by the text that came in.
Okay.
Oh, the other name I wasn't putting on here, Craig Wilson, who I actually think probably could have snuck on to your list, Pony, around the tail end. He was another guy. I think he just was very baggy uniform, wasn't really like that huge of
a
dude.
Well, that was in vogue back then, the big uniform.
Yeah, I mean, he was like not a small guy, but he wasn't.
All right.
Craig Wilson
wasn't what I would call
6'2", 215.
Yeah, I wouldn't call him a hefty pirate.
So who made the cut?
So we have Casey McGee checking in on this list.
Wow.
I loved him for the short time he was here.
He tortured the Pirates.
What did he weigh in at?
I don't have everybody's height and weight because the other thing is, and he's another good example. You're going to find better examples. Don't go by Baseball Reference because that's a bunch of hogwash.
Go with the eye test.
Go with your gut. Was the guy hefty?
Go with your gut about their gut.
All right, so Casey McGee made it for you. Who else?
Eric Hinsky.
I like that one. He's gotten way bigger since he's a coach now, and he looks humongous.
He kind of looks like Kevin James.
He does.
Malzy turned me onto this one, a great addition to the list. Dennis Reyes.
Oh, he was a
tub of water. He was a big boy. Yeah, I saw him, and it was like gold mine.
He had an ERA of like 10.5 with the Pirates in like 12 games.
He was both a hefty pitcher and a bad pitcher.
6'3", 250 on Baseball Reference.
Yeah, no way he was 250. If he's 250, then he was about 5'8".
Wow. Even his picture makes it look like he weighs 1,000 pounds. All right, next.
Joe Blanton.
Oh, that's a good one. I completely forgot about him.
A short stint here, but big dude.
Yep.
Bednar.
Of course.
Put him on there.
Yeah, when he has a bad outing, people text him, he needs to go on Awaken 180.
Oh, there were a lot of people that would call it last year, jumping all over him.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, closer is like one of those positions where you're going to get a lot of names on there. Jose Mesa.
It almost adds more like flair to your closer's role.
Yeah, you want a girthier closer.
Randall Simon.
Yep. Not a closer, but he got the job done in Milwaukee. Yep.
Now, here's another one that you go by the eye test. You're not going by what that height and weight says. Malzy's boy, Jimmy Anderson.
Oh.
You go on Baseball Reference, it says the dude weighs like 165.
No. Yeah, right.
I think it says like 175.
Jimmy Anderson? He's listed at 6'1", 195. That's
no
his,
way.
That's just his legs.
Yeah, have him at?
He was 6'1", 195 on Baseball Ref. Jimmy Anderson, large man.
I weigh more than that.
That's
because you're taking all that creatine.
That's a good point.
You know, mostly muscle. Muscle weighs more than fat.
You got to look at the eye test. Ty Wigington getting on here. That was a good somebody had on
Ty
Twitter.
Ty Wigington had the physique.
Fat. He was beefy.
I would say Ty Wigginson's physique, barroom brawler.
He was husky.
Like, I just imagine, I look at a guy like Wigginton, I say, that guy's gotten into so many bar fights.
Right, and this list is
he's
not
absolutely
just like,
held a shattered bottle of Budweiser and said, come on, menacingly.
Yeah, it's just not all, like, behemoths.
No, it's like big dudes, hefty. That's why
barrel-chested
we're hefty.
People. Barrel-chested.
Daryl Ward.
He was wide.
Man
put one in the river.
Pounded one into the river.
He was wide.
On the fly, first guy.
Carlos Santana.
he's right on the border for me.
Yeah. He's got like he's like the last cut.
I think he's
this.
A baggy
he's like
the last I think he's
man.
Baggy
he's the 25th
jersey guy
man on this roster.
Yeah, he's baggy jersey guy.
Yoshi Susu Sugio.
Big man.
He's right around the same thing as Santana.
Yeah. I got to look up a picture of him. I don't even really remember what he looked like.
He's a green dinosaur that carried Mario around.
I think he yeah.
He's close. He's close.
Yeah, he's on the border of fat athlete.
Now, here's one that's no question, G-Man Choi.
Oh, big time.
He was like 270.
Yes. He was a house.
And speaking of 270, how about Big Brad Eldred?
he was a big guy, but he was 6'6", man. So the 270
he could have been like a tight end.
Yeah, the 6'6",
270. He spread it around a little better.
Yes, it was not concentrated.
Well, hefty then is the right word for him, Don.
Yeah. I put Pedro on the list.
Definitely.
He got heftier.
I mean, they called the man the Big Bull. Ronnie Paulino.
Definitely.
Jogging Ronnie. I mean, you might hear his name again soon. You might.
Couple of closers here. Joel Hanrahan.
Mm-hmm.
Our buddy Matt Capps.
Again, I'll say Hanrahan.
I think Capps is proud to be on this list.
But I would be.
I think Hanrahan and especially Capps, again, both go back to Wigginton barroom brawler physique.
What did they list old Cap, the Mad
Hanrahan's like hairstyle too was like really barroom brawler, the goatee, just all the whole
oh,
bit.
Oh yeah.
6'2", 250 for Capper.
Yeah, he's happy to be on that list. He's proud.
Rod Barajas.
Yes.
The inventor of the Zohan.
I didn't know that was
Zoltan.
Him.
Zoltan.
Yeah. Oh,
that God. Was him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did it after a walk-off home run.
Huh.
And now we get to the top five.
Oh, here we go.
Matt Stairs.
You know that's my all-time favorite.
Hitting bombs.
Rowdy Tellez.
Absolutely.
Very chubby.
Mike Fetters.
God, he looked like a walking angioplasty. He just looked like a man on the verge of something bad happening in his chest.
Dan Vogelback.
Of course.
And my favorite.
I feel like numerous times you could cut to Vogelback's locker, you'd see Miller Lite cans in the background.
I'm pretty sure Roundtree told us that.
Literally.
When he'd be in the clubhouse. And you knew I wouldn't forget this guy. A short-lived member about a decade ago on some of those playoff teams, Mike Zagurski. Listed at like 6'2", 230. You erase that first two and make it another three, and then I think we're talking. If you remember who I'm talking about.
I do. I saw him in the Pirates clubhouse one day. He looked like that Engelbert kid from Bad News Bears.
He was a large human being.
He was a blob.
He has no
There was
like
none.
His baseball reference picture, his lower lip is there, and then it just kind of turns into a large neck. There's not like a chin to speak of, really.
Do you have a plan on one-upping that list?
I've got you. You tasked me with a more vague one, but I was fine. I was trying to be up to the challenge. You just said the funniest Pirates players of the last quarter century, and so I did my level best here. Funny comes in a lot of different ways. I'll try to explain this as quickly as I can. I also made them in sort of an out of order order. I would like to think that my top five or so can be defended well as in order, but I'm just going to start. You ready?
Yep.
I'll just say this is number 25, John Holdscombe. Funny, why? Just a random 6'9 guy from like the independent leagues came up.
It was nasty.
Threw like borderline unhittable stuff in the midst of a playoff run and then disappeared, never to be heard from again. That's funny. Donnie, you don't know what I'm referencing here? That's like a real life Sid Finch story. Pony knows exactly what I'm talking about.
He never pitched in the major leagues again after that.
Right. It was it. Zagurski was 24th and probably should be higher, but I feel like I could have just said, I could have taken Donnie's top five and said, that's my top five.
Donnie,
too.
You really should get a customized Zagurski jersey and just rock that at Pirates games.
So
that
was,
would bring the house down.
He was 24. Number 23, Mike Williams. Paul Alexander here, of course, works for us. He did not like Mike Williams very much.
No, in fact, I think he hated him.
Hated him. I think the feeling was mutual. Mike Williams made to the All-Star game with an ERA of almost 7. That is funny in and of itself.
He was really good with us when
Mike Williams
on for an interview.
Mike Williams did one thing. Here's how he was going to pitch to a major league hitter. I'm going to throw you a slider, then I'm going to throw you another, and I'm just going to keep throwing them, and they're not really going to be in the strike zone, and hopefully you swing at three of them. Mike Fetters, number 22. Then we get to our chain-smoking, knee-brace-wearing friend, Aki Iwamura.
I didn't know that he was a big smoker.
Oh, yeah. He was ripping more heaters than Nikolai Habibulin, if you want to
so
reference.
He was like pulling a Leland down there in between at-bats and innings?
I have it on pretty good authority that Aki liked to rip darts, yes. Number 20, mainly funny for one reason and one reason only. I kind of wanted this guy to be good because I thought the potential was there. He had a phone fall out of his pocket, Rodolfo Castro.
Yep.
How could I not have him on the list? 19, arguably, definitely one of the best actual baseball players on this list, Josh Harrison. Funny stuff happened. Him diving around, losing his helmet in rundowns, probably going out of the baseline.
I'm surprised he made this list.
But
I almost feel like he's too good for this
list. He's the best player on this list, but it was like slapstick comedy watching him do fun stuff.
I feel like he would be outraged to be included with the Mike Zagurskis and Evil Murrays of the world.
It's like one of those comedy action movies where he's the guy somehow getting out of it. Number 18, Turner Ward. He ran through a wall once. That, on some level, is funny. Number 17, Rod Barajas. No explanation needed. This guy probably should be higher. 16th, Jason Grilley. He compared himself to Jesus Christ in a book that he wrote called Just My Game.
I didn't know that part.
You didn't?
No.
You don't know this part of the Grilley lore? He compared his struggles as a guy dealing with injuries early in his career to Jesus of Nazareth. I can't... 15... Craig Riley, our boss, great pull. We said, who's a funny pirate from the last 25 years? Instant response, Lastings Millage.
Yeah, it was a great call.
Dennis Reyes, double appearance on Donnie's Fathlete lists. John Grabo on my list at 13. Why?
I'm not sure why.
I had a crush on a girl named Amanda in high school. Amanda ended up when she got like out of high school age. I think she was 19 or 20, and Grabo was like 24, 25. She dated him for several months.
And that just gets him on the list.
Profoundly funny to me. She dropped her number on a baseball to him or something in the bullpen. John Jaso, number 12. He's Captain Ron, except he played baseball. Any explanation needed?
No.
Brian Bixler, the avatar of, I almost swore there, crappy hitting middle infielders who serve no purpose, number 11. Tony Sanchez, number 10. Don't feel like I need to explain
Chugging
it.
Chugging beers and never getting hit.
Ross Ohlendorf, number 9. A man more interested in like farm aid than he was in pitching and baseball
games. Yeah,
did
he work in Congress or something
Worked
like that?
Worked in Congress, went to Princeton, sweated more than anyone I've ever seen. Number 8, Joggin' Ronnie Paulino. No explanation needed here. Number 7, Raul Mondesi. Remember when he played for the Pirates?
He just up and quit, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Number 6... Niger Morgan, Tony Plush.
Yep.
Number 5, Randall Simon. He once beaned a bratwurst with a bat.
Yep.
Number 4, I don't really know why I have this guy on here, but I feel like it belongs. I think of horrible Pirates Sunday lineups of yesteryear. Keith Osick made my list.
That's the second Keith Osick reference on today's show.
Number 3, he maybe made the most boneheaded play in the history of Major League Baseball, Will Craig. A play so bad it ended his career, and I refuse to feel bad about having a laugh about that. Number 2, a name that you guys were astounded that I pulled from the mists, Montana DeRapo, a player who should be in like a baseball movie. Oh, this is our wild-armed closer, Montana. And number 1, he chose to live on a houseboat instead of play for the Pirates. He authored Operation Shutdown, Derek Bell.
Yeah, I was hoping you were going to not leave him off.
No, he had to be. He was the easiest one to fill in.
But one guy I thought was going to make it who didn't was Tucapita Marcano.
Thought about it. I could have put Sean Rod on there, too. He fought a Gatorade cooler, and the Gatorade cooler might have won.